You are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast. Here are your hosts, Al Powder and Maddie D.
All right, everybody, welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast. Episode 251 is always presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on at StudentUnionSports.com from daily podcasts, as well as the daily blogs and everything else in between. You know the podcast by now. Obviously, us at Legends Lingo covering everything in Boston sports. The Yellow Card Podcast covering everything in soccer. The Chasers Podcast covering everything in sports betting. And the Is It Saturday Yet Pod covering everything in college football, especially with the bowl games coming up and the college football playoff coming up. Al the Geegan here. Tom Powder Cadmus here. Hi, Powder, first of all.
Hey, Al.
Hey, bud. No Maddie B this week. He has decided to celebrate Christmas early, so he is at a Christmas party, and he was very honest and upfront, and you know what? I can't blame him. It's the, you know, tis the season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. And, yeah, but there's a lot that went down. It's going to be mainly a Patriots and Red Sox episode. Patriots with an upset, and yes, I'm calling it an upset. I don't care. Upset win over the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday Night Football, so we're going to talk about that. Patriots have a big game against Taylor Swift. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday afternoon. So we will talk a little bit about that. There's some Patriots news. Then obviously we'll talk Red Sox, free agency, and everything else. But Powder, we're two baseball guys. Baseball's in our blood. It's in our, you know, just in our core. And I think we'd be remiss to not talk about arguably the biggest news to come out of the sport in probably the last, let's see, 20 years, something like that. Something crazy.
Something like that. It was almost 25 years to the day that the first $100 million contract was handed out, so.
I was reading something on Twitter today, X, and it said that the Red Sox had signed Manny Ramirez to a $160 million contract. And I think it was in, I forget the year it was exactly.
Was it 2000?
It was either 2000 or it was 99. It was one of those two. It might have been 2000. I think you're spot on there. But back then, $160 million was, you know, the equivalent of, you know, $100 billion like today. Like that was just what it was. But anyways, let's talk about this first before we get into the Boston sports stuff. Shohei Ohtani is now officially Boston.
It was before the 2001 season.
Before the 2001 season. Okay. Yeah. Good little teaser there. But I mean, everybody knows at this point. So Shohei Ohtani officially lands with the Los Angeles Dodgers, 10 years, $700 million. The contract itself is interesting because Ohtani's salary per year for the 10 years is only $2 million per year, which is $20 million. The $680 is actually going to be deferred. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Powder, it's like 2034 through 2043.
Something in that range.
Yeah. He's going to get $680 million. Shohei Ohtani is the new Bobby Bonilla, folks. And if you don't know who Bobby Bonilla is, you need to go look him up because that contract with the Mets, wild to think about. But let's dive into this for a couple minutes, Powder, because, again, we're two big baseball guys, and we follow MLB free agency really closely. I think, and tell me if I'm wrong here, and then jump in, obviously. I think we both can agree the Dodgers was the logical choice for him, right?
That was where 90% people predicted he was going. It was just the most, like you said, logical team for him to go.
It was. And honestly, you think about it, one big thing that sold it for me that was the reason that Ohtani was going to stay in Los Angeles was because people reported that he was big into routine. He was big into, you know, keeping the same routine every day. And I mean, it's a win for him going to the Dodgers. They're a win now team. They've gone to the playoffs every year, still in a big market, still in Los Angeles where he was before with the Angels. He can make his endorsement money and make, I think they said that Shohei Ohtani made the most endorsement money last year, $40 million in endorsement money.
That's $40 million.
And the next highest was Mike Trout at $5 million. There's this huge gap, a $35 million gap there.
Yep.
That's crazy to think about. But I think this is going to open up some doors now, Powder, to the way that MLB teams approach contracts. And guess what? The Dodgers, they realize with what they did with Ohtani, they can go out and get Yoshinobu Yamamoto if they want to.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Yamamoto later on in the show, but Shohei Ohtani is now in the National League. And by the way, the reports were coming out that Ohtani was flying to Toronto. supposed to get a deal done in Toronto.
So funny on Friday seeing all those tweets that he's on a plane going to Toronto and everything, and people are freaking out in that there was a mysterious 6 p.m. press conference, the Blue Jays scheduled and all this, and yep.
Yeah, John Morosi not having a great offseason.
Oh, I feel bad because from what I've heard, he's a very nice guy. Like, he really takes his job seriously. Like, he's learned multiple languages to be better at his job and stuff like that. Like, there's other reporters that if this happened to, it'd be quite funny and stuff like that. But him, I heard, is he's just an incredible guy. So,
no, Morosi's good most of the time, but you can't screw up a situation like that and a leak like that. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You cannot do that. But again, I think on the surface, the team makes sense. Of course, the rich get richer and the Dodgers are getting, you know, the unicorn of baseball,
yeah,
in Shohei Ohtani. And now they have the room, if they want to go out and make other moves. And that's scary for the rest of the MLB, mm-hmm, because you remember, Powder, not even 6-7 years ago, the Red Sox were just like that when they had Dave Dombrowski. They went out and got Craig Kimbrell. They went out and signed David Price. They went out and traded for Chris Sale. They were making moves. They signed JT Martinez before the 2018 season.
Yeah.
They found ways to make themselves better and buy until they were satisfied with the team they had. And now that's not the case. But now it's the Dodgers that are doing it. So, mm-hmm, did you have any other thoughts on Ohtani signing with the Dodgers before we get into the actual Boston sports part of the show?
It just kind of, it is cool seeing the way he structured his contract. Obviously, it comes out that, yeah, he's only taking $2 million a year, but his contract still hits. I think I saw like $46 million against the salary cap, or not salary cap, luxury tax, which is still obviously a decent hit, but still it's a little over half of $70 million of what it could have been. So it's cool that I did that, and I just saw a couple reports right before it got on of wording in his contract. So the Dodgers cannot fire his translator. What's his translator? Everybody loves his translator. I heard he's just the funniest guy. So the Dodgers fire his translator, he can opt out of the contract right after. So there's some cool things in the contract. And like you said, it's the best player in baseball. Again, the biggest deal. I don't think there'll be a deal anywhere close to this because we're not going to have a two-way guy of this caliber anytime soon. So it's a unique contract. And like a lot of people have said, it's not only a baseball deal, but it's a marketing deal as well. Because I don't know if you saw what came out, but Ohtani's number 17 Dodgers jersey broke the record for any sports in the first 40 hours of release. Broke Lionel Messi's Miami jersey sales in 48 hours.
I know what you're talking about now. I saw that graphic.
Yeah. So it's already paying for itself. The deal's already earning itself. And the Angels, who were a dumpster fire of a team, I heard made like $40 million on jersey sales and different things just linked to Ohtani. Think about what the Dodgers are going to make with Ohtani. So this deal, I think in 5 to 7 years, is going to have itself already paid off completely. And they're going to be making money on the deal. So,
like I said, man, the Dodgers just keep finding ways to add and keep getting richer. I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, that lineup now has Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani all in the same lineup.
Yep, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, it's incredible. Like, top of it. That's like if you went to the All-Star game,
yep,
and you had to pitch against them, but they're all on the same team now. It's nuts. But
it's crazy.
Good for Ohtani.
Yeah.
Bad job by the Angels of trying to build around him. They did a terrible job in the 6 years they had him. Like, even this past deadline, they made a couple moves, didn't really work out great. I think Mike Trout's going to be next.
Right.
I think would not surprise me if the Angels tried to trade Trout to at least get something out of them.
They should.
They should at this point, is right. Just reset. Hit the reset button.
Yeah.
But anyways, all right, let's get into the actual Boston sports. We're going to take a break from baseball. We'll come back to baseball at the end of the Red Sox talk. Let's talk about the Patriots. So the Patriots, we'll talk about this first because this is going to be brief. Patriots come away with a 21-18 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday Night Football. Bailey Zappe throwing for 3 touchdowns, 1 to Ezekiel Elliott, 2 to Hunter Henry on his birthday. Should have bet Hunter Henry to score that day, but what? I mean, here we are. It is what it is. Just quick thoughts on that game. It was a strong first half, but then you saw in the second half, and I fell asleep for a while in the second half, but I went back and took a look at the highlights. I mean, it's the same things, right, Powder? It's the lack of moving on offense. Like, granted, the first half, the Patriots looked like the old Patriots, like Tom Brady year Patriots, where they were moving the ball down the field. They were executing. Obviously, Zappe hits hits Ezekiel Elliott for a nice, easy touchdown. Then hits Hunter Henry for a couple nice touchdowns in the
first half. That one absolute dime he dropped to the front corner of the end zone, Hunter Henry, was a great throw.
Oh, it was. It was also, too, the Steelers' corner mistimed the jump. But even so, the touch on it, like you said, with Zappe, right on.
Yep.
It was a great touch. But Patriots almost blew the game. The special teams almost blew the game. And again, it's cool they got a win. Like, I'm happy they won the game. Don't get me wrong. Like, you're happy when your team wins. But at the same time, you know, if you're talking about the tank, now you find yourself in an interesting position. Because right now, again, and we're going to update this every week until the end of the regular season. So right now, the Bears are going to get the number one pick. I've already accepted that. The Panthers are 1-12. That looking at the Panthers' last 4 games of the season, they're home against Atlanta, home against Green Bay, at Jacksonville, home against Tampa. Could they win 2 of those games? Maybe. But are they going to? Probably not. So it's looking more and more likely that Chicago's going to get that number one pick.
Yep.
Patriots are 2. Cardinals are 3. Washington's 4th with a 4-9 record. Patriots and Cardinals both 3-10. And then at 5-8 are actually 6 teams. The Bears, who are going to have 1-5, which is great for them. The Raiders, the Jets, the Giants, the Titans, and the Chargers. And then you have a bunch of teams at 6-7, 7-6. But the point I'm trying to make is you need to make sure that you, at the absolute worst, get number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Get the number 3 overall pick, because no matter what, because I think what's going to happen is I think the Bears are probably going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. as long as he declares for the draft.
Yeah.
And then the Cardinals, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback because Kyler Murray is now healthy and can now actually play. So I don't think they need a quarterback. I think if anything, they'll get offensive line help. Maybe like they jump up and get Joe Alt from Notre Dame, just declared for the draft today, to beef up their line. Yeah. What I'm making is now you're looking at Caleb Williams and you're looking at Drake May, and you can have your pick of who you want. So that's why getting at least at the worst 3 is very, very important. You drop below 3, you're playing with fire.
Yes, sure.
As far as getting one of those guys is. But I don't know if you want to comment on the Pittsburgh game real quick, Powder. I mean, again, it was nice to get a win. The funny moment for me was, you know how when the Patriots win, they show the Patriots inside the locker room after their wins, the all access. You just see Bailey Zappe like going nuts with Bill O'Brien, and then he goes over to Bill Belichick, and he's shaking Belichick's hand like he's taking his daughter out on a date for the first time. He's trying to make a good first impression. It was just like 2 completely different emotions just taking a 180 in the span of like 3 seconds. But anything on the Steelers game that stood out to you, or anything that you just wanted to add on it?
No, like you said, I watched the first half, then went to bed after the first half of the Patriots winning pretty good. But like you said, it's kind of like, it's a good thing and bad thing. Like, obviously, we love watching Patriots win and all that stuff, but it's also you want them to get the best draft pick at this point that they can, and wins aren't helping that cause. But, you're seeing it, I feel like, the same thing every week. Their offense isn't great, and their defense plays pretty well. Obviously, they almost slipped up the lead, but that happens when your defense is on the field so much. But you know, it's a good thing to see the Patriots win, but let's see if we can keep the tank going.
Yeah, you need to keep the tank going, because you have a lot of quarterbacks right now that are just falling off the wayside. Justin Herbert's going to be out for the year, so the Chargers are probably going to stop trying, and they're probably going to try to tank for games. And that's why these next couple weeks are very important. So let's just jump into it, Powder. Let's jump into next week. So the Patriots have the Kansas City Chiefs coming to town. Patrick Mahomes, Taylor Swift, and I didn't even mean to say her second. that was just, you know, you think of Kansas City, now you think Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. But Travis Kelce, Andy Reid. There was the situation, obviously, in the Bills-Chiefs game on Sunday where Kadarius Toney, wide receiver, lines up offsides, negates a big play that led to a touchdown that could have won the game for Kansas City. And, you know, Mahomes was upset about it. Andy Reid was upset about it. Made it clear in the after-game interactions, like Mahomes with Josh Allen was clearly very upset. They were upset the next day. But the point that I'm making is the Chiefs are a much better football team, but they've lost three of four. They already have five losses this year. I mean, could it be possible, Powder, that the Patriots actually pull off the upset at home in Foxborough? Is it a legit possibility?
I mean, the way their defense plays and the mistakes the Chiefs make, obviously, yes, I can see it, but I just can't see the Patriots offense doing much. Like, I just can't. Like, yeah, they played pretty well in the first half of the Steelers game, but the Chiefs are better team than the Steelers, and I think the Chiefs are just going to be able to put up more points against the Patriots, stuff like that. And I need Patrick Mahomes to have a good game this week. I want to win and face you in the championship.
Are you in the playoffs? My brother and I were talking about this. I genuinely forgot who was in the playoffs.
I'm the 3 seed, but I have a better record than Waleed, who's the 2 seed, but he won the other side of the conference.
Oh, okay. So it was me, you, Wally, and Andrew. I thought Isaac was in the playoffs for some reason, but
I snuck in, but...
No, you got the 3 seed. That's not sneaking in. You earned your stripes.
Yeah.
All right, so that's good to know. But I agree. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to find a way. Like, I think he's going to do well against Patriots defense. I know people will say Belichick's always game-planned well against Mahomes. Yes, he has.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the weapons compared to the past. Patriots don't have the offense, so... I don't think we really need to preview this game that much longer. Let's just do a score prediction. I'm going to go Chiefs 27, Patriots 13 in Foxborough. I think the Patriots just, they had their win. It was nice, good moment. You know, it's a good week, but I think reality sets back in on Sunday afternoon.
Yep, I think Chiefs are going to win. I'm going to say they put up, let's do 30-7. I think Chiefs are going to win 37. I don't think the Patriots offense does much.
So you got a blowout. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's fair. It could very well be a blowout. All right. Let's talk about two other Patriots things, and we'll get into some Red Sox tidbits before we close out for the week. Malik Cunningham is now part of the Baltimore Ravens. Cunningham ran out of weeks in the practice squad for the Patriots. The Ravens picked him up, reuniting with former Louisville teammate Lamar Jackson. Look, as far as Malik Cunningham is concerned, he wasn't this, like, star in the making. Like, he was a project. That's what he was. They were giving him reps to wide receiver, giving him reps to quarterback. They wanted to find a spot for him. But it's not like you're losing this big piece and it's going to break your team. It's not like a back-breaking move. But I think people were excited about the possibility of having a dual threat quarterback that could run the ball well and throw it well, because we haven't had that. We had 1 year of it in Cam Newton in 2020, and Cam Newton was even on like the back nine of his career, in my opinion, at that time. But we're not used to having that. But now it also kind of confirms that the Patriots don't know what they're doing at quarterback. They just don't. But I think we know now Mac Jones is not the guy. Like, we know that now. Bailey Zappe is not the future of this team, at least in my opinion. But Will Greer, they keep cutting and bringing back as the emergency quarterback anyway. So I think in the draft pattern, it's safe to say they're going to take a quarterback. Oh, I think that's safe to say.
I feel like anybody can figure that one out.
They can. But again, I think Malik Cunningham not sticking around much longer just proves that the Patriots don't know what they're doing at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
They're looking for answers. They have made so many moves in the past couple of years. It's like 25 transactions now of bringing guys in, signing practice squad, releasing, signing back to the practice squad, releasing again, signing back to the practice squad for the third time. They can't make up their minds. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I think Malik Cunningham is going to go to Baltimore. I think he's going to thrive in John Harbaugh's system. I really do. Do you have any thoughts on Malik Cunningham going to Baltimore?
No, you could just see kind of what he meant to some of the Patriots players, if you saw on social media, a lot some players posted like just saying good luck to Malik and stuff like that. But like you said, it's not a huge piece. It's not like back in the day the Patriots cut Randy Moss in his prime. Like it's just another practice squad player that's going somewhere else.
Did you see Trent Brown's post to Malik Cunningham?
I did not.
Basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was basically go to a place where you're going to be respected.
Yeah.
So I think that means two things. I think, first of all, I think there is some validity to that. I think the Patriots truly didn't appreciate Malik Cunningham for what he could bring to the future. And I think Trent Brown's gone after this year. I think he's talking his way out of New England. I think he's done, and that's fine. Like, they need to replace him anyway because he's so inconsistent. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
But again, this is a practice squad player. Like, he had a couple of nice drives against the Texans in that first preseason game. Had the touchdown run, which got everyone excited.
Yeah.
But it's clear he wasn't a part of the future. If he was, the Patriots would have kept him on the 53-man roster going forward, but they didn't. And there's a reason for it. He played a little bit in the Raiders game, and he didn't look good.
Yeah.
So, again, you have to give him time, but also at the same time, if you know immediately, all right, he's not the guy, we got to move on. And that's what they're doing. They're letting him walk. It's a better situation for him, I think, and more power to him. So, yeah. All right, let's move to the last tidbit, and this is probably the most important part. Before we get into the most important part, though, Bill Belichick Bill Belichick was a guest host. There it is. On College Game Day, Army-Navy, that was played at Gillette Stadium, won by Army. I believe the score was 17-11. He had the Navy helmet. He put it on. He did the Lee Corso thing where he puts on the helmets of the winner of the game that they think it is. Everyone's hooping and hollering. Just let Belichick have his couple minutes of being a normal person. Let's just enjoy it. Like, it was funny. It genuinely was funny because you don't expect that from him. So, you know what? Enjoy it in the moment. Just be like, ha, 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 that was actually really funny. And these people that are like, oh, you know, why are we acting like, you know, getting so jazzed that he's a human being for 5 minutes? Because we don't get that. We don't. We don't get that from him. So, you know what? When we do, appreciate it. I'm not saying that excuses anything that's happened this season. But when the guy's having a good time, just let him have a good time.
Oh, yes. All right.
But that's not what we're talking about, unless you have any statement on that.
I got nothing.
Okay, perfect. But you will have a statement on this. So Tommy Curran, who is an insider, Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston, has come out multiple times now and said that he has heard that after the Germany game, it was decided that Bill Belichick and the Patriots will part ways in the offseason. So, Powder, I'm going to ask you a question first before we kind of go a little bit more into this. Do you believe that 2023, truthfully, is the last year of Bill Belichick being the head coach of the Patriots?
I do.
Do you think it's time for him? Do you think it's just his time to go?
I just think at this point, it's time for the Patriots to hit the reset button and start over completely. And I just think that's getting rid of Belichick and starting completely over, new GM, new coach, see what happens.
And see, that's the thing I want to talk about in a second, but I do also think, I think this is Belichick's last year. I think it's just time, you know, and I love Bill Belichick. I love what he's done for this Patriots organization. Believe it or not, I think Dave Portnoy of Barstool said it the best.
Oh, I watched that video and I was going to, that was in my head to mention it.
Yeah.
And said any better.
Yeah, I think Portnoy hit the nail on the head. I think it's, if you want to keep him around and, you know, have these 3-14 seasons, Belichick has surely earned the right to have that at this point. And you ride with Belichick. But if you're like us, that's like, you know what, he's been great, but it is time to move in a new direction. Then you move on. It's like, okay, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like, okay, what do we expect now? What's next? Because we haven't had a coaching change in almost 25 years. Like, that's been a good thing about Patriots fans is we've never had to worry about the coach and who the coach is going to be. But now we're like every other NFL team. You got to see what's out there. So with that, Powder, let me ask you this. If you had your choice for the next head coach of the New England Patriots, who would you want?
This is kind of the trendy topic right now, but I like it and I want Gerard Mayo. I think having defensive guy, I think that's what makes the Patriots great. They've always Not always. Obviously, a couple of the championships were led by offense, but for the most part, the Patriots are known for their defense. I think having him, and I saw one report, I forget who it was, but saying this, it looks like the direction of the Patriots are leading, but Kraft wants to hear what his offensive like game plan is.
I saw that too. I know what you're talking about.
Like, and I agree. He's a defensive guy. You need to see what his thoughts are on a quarterback, on how the offense is going to run. Like obviously being the head coach, you have the most responsibility, but is he going to keep like a Bill O'Brien on the staff who maybe Bill O'Brien just, who knows, but he could be good going forward, but, or is he going to get a new offensive coordinator, someone who's going to really be good for this offense with a new quarterback and all that stuff? Like, I do agree with that. I think it's Jerod Mayo is my choice, but I do want to see what his offensive approach is going to be going forward.
So Jerod Mayo is the popular pick, and I can see why you picked it. It's not a bad choice. It's really not. I just think the Patriots have to clean house a little bit. They need to just get some new blood in there. And one guy that's been rumored to be out there for head coaching vacancy, Ben Johnson, the OC from Detroit.
Okay.
You know, an offensive-minded guy, someone that's helped the Lions get to the position they're in right now. I think they're 9-4, looking at a playoff berth potentially.
Yep.
So that's great to see for, you know, the city of Detroit. And another name that I've thrown out there that I know there's been a lot of scrutiny around as far as if he gets a head coaching job, there's a lot of problems, I don't know. But Eric Bieniemy from the Commanders, you know, we know what he did as an OC in Kansas City. He's actually done a pretty good job with Sam Howell this year.
Yeah.
So that's a name that if the Patriots can withstand the heat, like, give me Bieniemy. I'm fine with that. That's great. So I don't know. Those are just a couple names off the top. Jerod Mayo, Ben Johnson. But they need to do something better than what they're doing. So if that's the case, then you better go out and you better make sure that it's the right hire and give them a couple years. Don't just give them 1 year. Don't be like Matt Rhule and Frank Wright for the Panthers, where they weren't even given the whole first year. Give this new coach a couple years, see if they can get it off the ground. And then if not, then you can move on. That's totally fine.
Agreed.
But anything else on Belichick or anything else, Powder, that you want to get out there about the whole situation and what Tommy Kern said, anything like that?
No, I think just linking back to the Dave Portnoy, like you said, if Patriots want to stick with Belichick and the Patriots suck for 5 more years because Belichick wants to coach 5 more years, obviously it would suck watching because you hate losing, but like you said, Belichick earned the right to be able to do that. And just, I hope wherever Belichick lands, I hope he finishes out his coaching career on a high note, doing well. Obviously, I want the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, but I just want him to win wherever he goes just because of everything he's done for New England and the Patriots fans. So good luck to Belichick if this is your last year, and let's see if you can finish it strong by losing every game the rest of the year.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You know, just get the 3-14, solidify number 2 overall, and that'll be great. Patriots fans will be like, listen, Bill, you gave us something on the way out. Thanks for everything. See you later.
Yep.
All right, enough Patriots. Let's talk a little Red Sox. But before we talk Red Sox, Powder, you need to tell the people about A&B Kitchen Bar.
Oh yeah. Where's Maddie? He asked me that, or telling me he's hungry.
But I know. The one time we need him to be here.
Yeah. Like I say, every week, Legends Lingo is graciously hosted or sponsored by A&B Kitchen and Bar and A&B Burgers. A&B Kitchen and Bar is located in Boston, Massachusetts, right across the street from the TD Garden, where A&B Burgers is located in Beverly, Massachusetts, North Shore of Massachusetts. If you're looking for a great bite to eat, whether it's burgers, whether it's fish and chips, what have you, go to A&B Kitchen and Bar. With the Celtics, they're rolling. Bruins are still playing pretty well. If you want to catch a game at the Garden, or you don't have tickets, like I say, every week, and you want to be in the atmosphere, head over to A&B Kitchen and Bar, grab some drinks, be right across the street from the Garden, have that feel of being at the game, but not actually at the game. And whenever you get there, make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo Boys send you.
Again, I know we joke about it, but a live show at A&B Kitchen Bar needs to happen. It really does. We'll figure
I'll talk to Tom come playoff time for either Bruins or Celtics.
Honestly, you know what would be a good time? The draft. Like, right around the draft. That would be good. Get live reactions. That would be fun.
Yep.
Something to think about.
Oh, yeah.
Something to talk about. All right, let's talk about the Red Sox a little bit. We got about 10, 15 minutes here before we sign off for the week. So the Red Sox have really not done a lot when it comes to really big, splashy moves in free agency. They've signed a couple guys. They actually signed Roberto Perez to a minor league deal, who's been a two-time Gold Glove award-winning catcher, which has been great. They also signed, and I got to make sure I get his name right, Cooper, some pitcher from the Rays. Like, I don't even know his last name.
Yeah.
Here, I got it right here. Cooper Criswell. One-year deal, $1 million. Came from the Rays, was DFA'd last year, had like a 5 ERA. Side armor, throws mid to high 80s. He's a project. And you know what? Yeah. I am just so sick and tired. It feels like it, and I know this is going to be an intense overreaction. I understand that before I say this. But so far, it's like Craig Breslow is basically Heim Bloom.
Yeah.
That's basically what he's been so far. And you could argue, Powder, that the one big free agent now that's left is Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Mm-hmm. And the Red Sox, supposedly, according to Mark Feinsohn, they have a meeting scheduled with Yamamoto, which is a good step to show they're mm-hmm. interested. But I think that's all it's going to be. I don't think, do you really have confidence in this ownership to pony up the dough if they're in a bidding war and they just need a little bit more money to land a coveted free agent?
At this point, they haven't shown it in a long time, and I just don't see them being the team to outbid a Dodgers or a Mets or someone like that. So no, I don't have confidence in them.
They're not. And the thing is, like, the Dodgers are going all out. The Dodgers sent Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani
yep.
to the meeting. They're serious about getting him. And honestly, they probably will get him because they can pay Yamamoto. He's in a big market. He has Ohtani that he can, you know, talk to and be buddies with and everything else too. So if you're Craig Breslow and you're John Henry, you got to find a way to convince Yamamoto you don't want to go to LA. You want to go to Boston, but we're not confident in that. When was the last free agent, the big coveted free agent, Powder, that the Red Sox went out and got and were like, wow, that's a splash? David Price? I'm talking not trade, a signing.
I mean, you can say JD, but I think David Price is bigger, so I'd say David Price. Because I didn't think Price was coming to the Red Sox because of his history against the Red Sox and his rivalry and all that, that the Red Sox made the offer, and he couldn't refuse it.
Absolutely, and not just that, too, but you also think about it. JD Martinez was only coveted by two teams in that offseason. It was the Red Sox and the Diamondbacks. So it's not like the Red Sox were competing with six or seven other teams.
Yeah.
You look at all the teams that are in on Yamamoto. The Giants are in on him. Blue Jays are in on him. The Yankees are in on him. The Mets are in on him. Like, the Giants just signed that Korean kid that's supposed to be a star, a stud. So maybe that takes the Giants out of the running. Maybe the Dodgers. Supposedly, they're looking at a trade with the Rays for Tyler Glasnow. So maybe that takes the Dodgers out of it. Who knows? But even so, that's still two teams. You still got to deal with the Yankees, the Mets, the Blue Jays, who just lost out on Ohtani and want a big name. So again, what are you going to do to separate yourselves from the pack? The Cubs could be a dark horse too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But again, what are you going to do to separate yourself from the rest of the pack? I don't have the confidence. I would say if you told me, give me a percentage for the chances of the Red Sox signing Yamamoto, I give it less than 10%. I give it maybe 4%.
I was going to say 5.
Yeah, 4 or 5%. I think 5's too high. I think 4 is the perfect number because it's dwindling. Until Craig Breslow makes a big signing, he still is unproven. And until this team makes those signings, they're going to continue to be unserious. And that's a problem. The Red Sox right now are the least talked about, least desired team to be following in Boston. Because you mentioned it earlier, Powder, the Celtics are competing for a championship, potentially. The Bruins are playing well so far this year, to the surprise of a lot of people. The Patriots have all the stuff with the draft, obviously, and everything, potentially getting a top 5 pick, and Belichick potentially out the door. The Red Sox are a doormat compared to the other Boston sports teams.
I know, and you go back to like 2004-13, I saw someone's tweet that said like they were the most talked about team in the city. It was a Boston, it was a Red Sox city, and now they're the, like you said, they're a doormat. They're the bottom team in the Red Sox, in the Boston sports, like, fans.
They are. And it's really sad. It is, because you know what? This team was so good for, you know, a good stretch of years. And it's not like this team is like the Rays or the Athletics or the, or one of those bottom of the barrel payroll teams. They have a top 10 payroll in the MLB. Actually, Bleacher Report just came out with it the other day. The Red Sox have the number three farm system in all the MLB. So it's not like they're not appealing. You have a top five farm system. You have a top 10 payroll. You're playing in a big market. You've won before. The free agents don't want to go there because ownership doesn't know how to do it right.
And they don't know how to play it as well.
Exactly. Look at the players that have walked out the door and they've had to trade: Mookie Betts, Xander Bogarts, just to name a couple recently.
But even if you look back in history, like David Ortiz, like obviously we're kind of young growing up with it, but he was signing like 1-2 year deals because the Red Sox never wanted to give him a big contract, even though he deserved it for everything he did for the city of Boston. And
absolutely,
they didn't treat him great. He loved Boston, and I don't think he was ever going to truly leave, but he didn't love the way he was treated by ownership. If you ever listen to him talk or read his books or stuff like that, he was not treated great.
And that's really sad, because you should be doing everything in your power to keep those legends here, because David Ortiz is a legend in Red Sox history and in Boston.
Yep.
And you're treating him like crap? Like, why? Like, what benefit do you get from treating your star players like crap? I don't get it. I really don't. But if the Red Sox miss out on Yamamoto, how confident are we that they even sign like a Jordan Montgomery?
I mean, hopefully it's all hands on deck to get Montgomery, because the Red Sox, that they have to look at their pitching and go, we need pitching help. And obviously, they could trade for someone, but I think just signing and joining Montgomery just gives fans kind of that, like, reassurance. Okay, they're actually doing something to, like, a big move to help get better.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but Jordan Montgomery by himself isn't it.
No.
You just lost out to the Royals for Seth Lugo. I'm not saying Seth Lugo is a Cy Young caliber pitcher, but he could have been your number three next year, a solidified number three.
Yep.
Which along with other moves, would have been a great signing with other moves, not as the only move. But we don't know what else is out there. Like, are you going to trade for Dylan Cease? Probably not. Are you going to trade for Lucas Giolito? Giolito doesn't have that same Cy Young caliber stuff that he had with the White Sox. He doesn't anymore. How many projects are you going to be willing to take on because you're not willing to pay the big bucks for someone?
Hopefully one day they finally figure out that they need to be the old Red Sox that spend money.
John Henry needs to sell the team for that to happen, Powder. And until he does, it's going to be the same old story. And they're just going to forever be the interest kings. Oh, Red Sox are interested in Seth Lugo. Oh, Red Sox having a meeting with Yamamoto. Oh, when the Mets signed him, oh, the Red Sox were so close. But it's like, just get over the finish line.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the star in here. It's not like this guy's 30 either. He's 25 years old. He's still very young.
Yep.
So you can get him here on a 7-year contract. And then if he's declining in his age 30, 31, 32 seasons, then you can get rid of the contract, which is fine. Yep. But again, we'll see what happens. One other trade that happened: Red Sox acquire outfielder Tyler O'Neill from the Cardinals in exchange for prospects. This just kind of feels like an Adam Duvall replacement signing. Yep. Like he's a good outfielder, good arm, plus glove, can hit for power, but again, it seems like if they don't re-sign Duvall, this is his replacement.
Yeah. It's not the most jacked outfield in the league.
They really do with O'Neill, Duran. And I mean, Yoshida is pretty, like, he's got like muscles on muscles, but he's shredded.
Yep.
You know, he's a lean, mean outfielding machine.
Yep. Oh yeah.
But again, I don't know what this team's going to do, and it's not early anymore in free agency. It's not like it's November before Thanksgiving. It's in the middle of it now.
Yeah.
Once you start getting into January, and then eventually at the end of January, then it's starting to run out of time
exactly. For
free agents. So get Yamamoto to Boston, even though we both know it's not going to happen, but find a way. Just find a way, please. All right. Anything else you want to talk about Powder tonight before we sign off?
I got nothing.
All right. Maddie, we missed you this episode. We hope you come back next week to talk about A&B Kitchen Bar, A&B Burgers. As always, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Make sure to check us out on Twitter at Lingo Legends. Please make sure to check us out next week. Hopefully the crew will be back. It's going to be our before Christmas week episode. But until then, that is Tom Powder Cadmus. I'm your host, Alan Nahegan. Thank you for watching episode 251. Thank you for listening to episode 251. And we will see you next week for episode 252.
Yes, sir.